Welcome to the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast presented by the Chiefs Focus Network. Where you talks about the NFL from end zone to end zone and all 100 yards in between. Without further ado, here's you.
Yo, what it do? This is the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast. Thanks for joining me. This is the NFL. We talk about the NFL from end zone, and all 100 yards in between. And this is the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast. My name, who am I? Who am I? One letter. You.
You. Detective, you?
Not you. You.
Who?
You.
Who?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
You.
And I am the host. What's happening? What's up, folks? So you can find this podcast where most places that you get your podcasts. This season, of course, I mention it every week. This season, Chiefs Focus is putting all their podcasts under one umbrella. So if you go to your favorite platform, you'll find the 100 Yard Dash under Chiefs Focus. So go to search Chiefs Focus. You'll see my episodes there. And that's the way you'll be able to get them. I do this thing at least once. I try to do this thing mostly once a week, normally Wednesdays. But we in a different scenario here. It's a different scenario. We're talking about the playoffs. We are talking about the playoffs. So it's not as many games. What? We are talking about the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. Are you kidding me? Playoffs?
And so it's a little bit different. But again, when do I do this thing? I do it at least once a week, normally Wednesdays. Sometimes I do it later, and like you see now, sometimes I do it earlier. But if you set up your notifications, you can know when I'm on, and you can join me, you can interact, and, the Chiefs Focus Twitch stream, the StreamYard stream, the YouTube stream on Chiefs Focus. Like and subscribe as well. I thank you for listening. Appreciate it. Let's get up in it. We talking about a wild one, wild card weekend, and a wild one it happened to be. You know, let's just jump right in there. Let's talk about the Browns losing to the Texans. Now, one of the things that I thought about when I watched this game. So the Browns, let's recap. The Texans lose to the Browns. The Texans score 45. The Browns score 14. And we got the young up and comer C.J. Stroud, who looks like a phenom, as it were, right now, right? And the Texans and the Browns end with the same schedule. I mean, with the same record. But when you get to the playoffs, don't none of that matter. So with this wild card weekend thing, to me, this was like offense versus defense, right? Because we're talking about the Browns, who had one of the top defenses of the season. And the Texans, they're up and coming, but they're not. I didn't think that their situation was like, I never thought that their defense was super dynamic, but it gets the job done when it needs to get done. But that offense, hoo-wee, that Texans offense is just phenomenal, okay? So I didn't know who to pick in this one. You know, the Browns have a little bit of experience, but not very much, right? And so the Texans are a young team, young coach, first-time head coach. Kevin Stefanski's been here before. He's weathered a lot of storm this season. Went through four quarterbacks, I think. And Joe Flacco was playing phenomenal ball. Shoot, he looked like he looked like he is catching fire, right? He looked like the Linsanity. Linsanity, just an crossboard reference, but whatever. He looked like he was setting the world ablaze and then making sure he gets to sleep at 8 o'clock because he's an old man. Yeah, I said it. I'm older than him. I'm about as old as him, so I get it, whatever. But the Browns, I don't know what I thought about the Browns. The Browns were a weird team to me, but they weathered the storm. They weathered the storm all season. So I thought maybe something could happen where they could pull this out. It began, the game began super slow to me. Like the way it was working at first, the way Joe Flacco was running it, and then the way CJ Stroud did that last game, I was like, man, I expected fireworks all game from both teams. I know the Browns were known for defense, but I expected fireworks from both teams. Once the Texans put up a TD, they kind of never turned back on offense. And then the defense showed up. And then after the defense showed up, it's pretty much all over for Joe Flacco and company. Flacco's slippers ran out of magic. He threw back-to-back pick sixes. I mean, throwing picks is one thing, but throwing pick sixes, gonna kill you every time. So that's, what, 12 points? On the boards right there, 12 points that you ain't getting back. And so offense versus defense, when I say that, I would say that the defense won this game for the Texans, but then you see the score and the offense just never got the notice that they didn't need to stop scoring. So they just kept it moving. The Texans went on 35-0 run to end up winning the game. They went on a set 35-0 run to win the game. Stroud and company look like they're the next man up. They look like it. But let's rewind a year ago where I thought the same thing about the Jaguars. And coincidentally, that same team is in the same division as CJ Stroud. And they started off like fish grease this season, hot as fish grease. But it just never materialized into anything, so much so that the Jaguars missed the playoffs. So I do think the Texans is going to be different, but we will see. Now, the Browns, where do we go from here? I'm going to be honest. I have no idea. Kevin Stefanski, he probably won't be the coach of the year, but he could be. He's strongly in the mix, in my opinion. Like I said, he went through four quarterbacks. Joe Flacco had to come, and they had to sign him off the streets, basically. And he, you know, he had Deshaun Watson. He had, I almost said Deshaun Kizer, although they had him like 10 years ago. But, you know, they went through a barrage of quarterbacks. I almost called that man DTP. I can't remember his name now, but he only played like two games. And they had to go call Joe Flacco. It was a desperate situation. And for them to end the season at 11-7 was kind of miraculous, as it were, when I talk about what the Browns were able to accomplish. Yeah, they're out in the wild card weekend, but the way they weathered adversity was pretty good. You got to admit that. But where do they go from here? They still got to pay Deshaun Watson all that guaranteed money like dumb ditties. They get Nick Chubb back next year. I highly doubt he'll be the same Nick Chubb that he was, considering the type of injury it was, considering so many things. But Kevin Stefanski will be there next year. He should be. I mean, ain't no reason why he wouldn't. And, you know, they can make a run next year. Miles Garrett's still under contract. They'll be able to pick up some more defensive help and see where it goes. So I really don't know where the Browns go from here, but we will see. We got all offseason to see. They ain't going no further in the playoffs. Let's keep it moving. Let's go to Dolphins Chiefs. Look, I just did this one because it was the second one scheduled. So the Dolphins lose to the Chiefs. Chiefs score 26. The Dolphins score 7. I mean, y'all know the Chiefs are my team. I work for Chiefs Focus. Y'all see that. I'm going to tell you, this is what a well-rounded team looks like. This is what the well-rounded Chiefs team looks like. That's it. You know, I always used to think, I looked at the teams in the 90s and I looked at the teams that we've had with the dynamic offense and so forth and so on. And in the 90s, it was all about defense. We had the amazing defense and we had the offense that'll let you down every year. And I've always wondered what happens if you put on the Chiefs, if you put both of those together. And I never really thought, I always thought when you put both of those together, you should get a top 10 unit on both sides of the ball. It's not so much. What you do get is maybe a top 12, 13 situation on both sides of the ball, right? A top 12 situation on both sides of the ball. And it is what it is. Like, the Chiefs are not blowing anybody out, right? And that's exciting, of course. But this defense is balling. Balling, I tell you. So it's just going to be this way moving forward for the Chiefs. I'm not saying they'll have every game on a pay. I'm not saying they'll have every game where they shut everybody down. But what we do know is they can keep them behind under 21 points. They can keep them under 21 points. Oh, side note, let's go over here to this Peacock situation. The Dolphins Chiefs on Peacock set a record for the most watched event on a pay to watch platform. Bad news for everybody. Bad news for everybody. It's going to be this way moving forward. I'm not saying that they're going to have every game on a pay-to-watch platform, but they will gradually get to the point where that's going to be the case, where networks like Peacock and Paramount Plus, Disney Plus even, some random pay-to-watch platforms are going to pick up these games because the NFL is basically holding these games for auction, and the highest bidder for a specific game gets the game. And with the numbers that were reported to be on Peacock, yeah, they're definitely going to keep doing this. And I do believe at some point it'll be to the point where they sell the Super Bowl if they get the right amount of money, right? If a guy like Elon Musk or a guy like Jeff Bezos decides that they want to make sure that they have something for their constituents, their situation, their customers, and they wanted to offer something specific for them, you bet your bottom dollar, that they will pay and they will have this situation being a pay to watch platform. Even the Super Bowl. Think about that. Even the Super Bowl. But back to the game. This could be what a well-rounded team, Chiefs team, looks like right now. Normally in the playoffs, you don't get to reinvent yourself because you don't have enough time normally. So with that being said, you got to move on the fly. This could be what a well-rounded team looks like. A stingy defense and an offense that takes shots when it's available. They don't create shots. They don't make shots. They take the shots when they come to them. The first time this season, this last game was the first time this season that I felt that Rice could be a number one receiver. The first time. And people would tell me all the time that, oh, Rasheed's the number one. And I saw potential to that, but I didn't ever think he's a number one. You know, he barely got 1,000 yards. He didn't get 1,000 yards this year, but he was a few yards away from it, which is cool, which is really, really good. But you got to lean on the guys you got. Let's look at the game plan. The Chiefs ran the ball 31 times on purpose. On purpose. Let's add context to that. Mahomes threw the ball for 41 times. And the Chiefs are like a 60-40 run pass run team. And in this game, the run was like 45%. Andy Reid don't run the ball like that. Come on. And then let's go to the special teams. Butker ain't missing a kick these days. He's not missing a kick. So this could be what your well-rounded Chiefs team looks like. Stingy defense, offense that takes shots when it's available. Other than that, you know, short to intermediate throws with a run game, and a special teams. Now, let's go to the Dolphins. The Dolphins lost. Obvious, right? And the score again was 7. Dolphins score 7. Chiefs score 26. So where do we go from here? I've seen Dolphins fans talk about fire McDaniels. I don't know. I don't think that's what you should do. Some say get Tua out. Maybe. But I think they picked up his 5th-year option. I'll be honest with you. I have no idea where the Dolphins go from here. They got all the firepower that they could ever want on offense. And they add, they're opportunistic. They add talent where they can find it. I don't know where the Dolphins go from here. I don't think they should fire McDaniels. I think he's one of the, I think he draws up plays like no other. Draws up play concepts on offense that rival, dare I say, Andy Reid. But somewhere they got to get more dynamic. And if you're going to be real about it, it's definitely the quarterback. But I don't see them benching Tua for a rookie. I don't see them benching Tua for a rookie unless they get a dynamic rookie, which they ain't at the 23rd, 24th pick. It's not happening. I see. Yeah, they play a good football team. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I don't know what the Dolphins plan to do or how they go get better from here. They got one of the most dynamic wide receivers out here, almost in history. I don't know. We could talk about that all off season, but we're gonna keep it moving right now because we don't got that much time. So let's go to the Packers Cowboys game. And I'm not Stephen A. Smith, right? But if you look at the Cowboys, come on, bro. Come on. My wife's team is the Cowboys. That is hilarious. Hilarious. So the Cowboys lose this game. The Packers score 48. The Cowboys score 32. And let's just go here real quick. This is a side note. Maybe, just maybe, Rich Bisaccia knows what he's doing. For those of you that don't know, Rich Bisaccia is the Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator, and he was the interim coach for the Raiders a year ago. Was it a year ago? No. 2-3 years ago, something like that. And if Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, feels guilty for not hiring the only coach that got them to the playoffs in recent years, Rich Bisaccia, he could still hire him. There have been loads of articles talking about, oh, Mark Davis feels some sort of way that he didn't hire Rich Bisaccia when he could. Bro, you could still hire him. The dude ain't dead. You can go get him right now. Not right now, but you could basically wait till the playoff season and hire Rich Bisaccia. He's still out there. You sitting here saying that you regret not hiring him. You still can. Not like you got a head coach. You just fired him. Anyway, You can't right a wrong by making amends with someone else when the other person is readily available for you to make amends with. Don't work that way. It don't work that way. Anyway, back to what we was talking about. The Green Bay Packers, 48. The Cowboys, 32. Ah, man, this game was a blowout. Forget the end score. Please forget the end score. No, stop. With around 6 minutes left in the game, the score was 48-16. Those were garbage. The 16 points that they put up between the last 6 minutes were garbage time points. The Packers came in. They didn't even punch the Cowboys in the mouth. They gave them the beat down of their lives. Jordan Love has command of the game, period. 3 touchdown passes. Aaron Jones, 3 touchdown runs. The Packers are completely undefeated in Jerry World. I didn't know that until after this game. The Packers are undefeated at Jerry. Let that sink in. Undefeated. NFC team. Jerry World. Undefeated. And that includes the games where they ain't playing the Cowboys, because they did play the Super Bowl in that stadium. The Packers are undefeated in Jerry World. Wow. Who would have guessed? Not me. Let's go Cowboys here. What the Cowboys do? Matt LaFleur was playing chess. I got this from Rip Wheeler and Greeny. Greeny said this on Get Up, I think it was. Matt LaFleur was playing chess. Mike McCarthy was playing chutes and ladders. Think about it. I've been telling y'all, anybody who would listen, that I don't think Mike McCarthy's a great coach. I have been telling anybody that would listen that I think that Mike McCarthy's not a great coach. And when I say that, I don't mean it as like, I'm not here to take shots at him. I'm here to tell you, Mike McCarthy is one of those guys who is a my system type of head coach. And there's a place for that, but not in this NFL that we living in right now. It's not. We're transitioning from a my system needs to be implemented situation to I need to mold my system around this specific quarterback. And I ain't going to lie to you. I thought that was happening around week 3 or 4, where they came out. And then after that, they were really blowing teams out the water. But at the end of the day, that wasn't what was happening. They just ain't good enough. Is it Dak that's not good enough? Possibly. Is it Mike McCarthy that's not good enough? Probably. And I think Jerry Jones bought into the hype of the curse of not putting Jimmy Johnson in their Ring of Honor. And so he put him in the Ring of Honor, hoping that would make amends. Now, didn't work. I just believe Mike McCarthy is one of those guys who schemes up his own scheme. And sometimes when you do that and you don't mold it around your quarterback, which Mike McCarthy, and when he was with the Green Bay Packers, was one of those guys who had a my scheme situation, but Aaron Rodgers was never going for that. He was never going to go for that. And so Aaron always played backyard football when he was on the field. There were concepts that were installed, and the wide receivers knew what routes to run. But at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers had the chance to go outside of the parameters of that call, audibles, so forth and so on. Yeah, you ain't going to do that with Dak Prescott. Dak's not that kind of quarterback. He's not that good. He's not that proficient. He is not Aaron Rodgers. Okay. Where do we go from here if you're the Cowboys? Apparently, they're not firing Mike McCarthy, despite reports earlier in the year, they're not firing Mike McCarthy. So if you're not firing Mike McCarthy, what do you plan for to get better? What do you plan on getting better out of this? I don't understand. Jerry Jones needs to step aside and let football people handle football things, period. But he ain't going to do that. He ain't going to do that. And I say it all the time. When you chase something you used to have, you'll probably never get it again. That's for people when they talk about trying to go get old lovers and stuff like that. And even when you do get it, it ain't going to feel the same. It ain't going to feel the same in your heart and mind. It ain't going to feel the same on the outside. Jerry Jones been chasing the 90s for years. Bro, the 90s ain't never coming back. Last time Jerry Jones won a Super Bowl, we were still paying $1.99 for Happy Meals. Think about that. All right? The Ford Probe was still in production. Think about it. Come on now. The Econo line was still in production. Now, you know what? And when we look at this game, there was, and I look at all the injuries they had, there was nothing that Trayvon Diggs could have done. They have dynamic people to play. Trayvon Diggs was out. There was nothing Trayvon Diggs could have done to pull that team out of that game. They were just outmatched, out-schemed. This is chess. It ain't checkers. Yeah. I can't believe they're keeping Mike McCarthy as the coach. This is going to end badly for the Dallas Cowboys. It just is. Let's keep it moving. Sorry about that. A little bit stuffy-headed, but we keep it moving regardless. The Rams, the Lions. The Rams-Lions game. Good game. Great game. I honestly thought at some point the Rams were going to walk away with this one and this would be the end of the Lions run. But Aiden Hutchinson was one of those guys that everybody talks about talent, but the one thing you always hear about him is high motor, high motor, high motor. And I'm like, bro, when you talk about guys like that, I don't think they'll come out to be anything, because that high motor runs out eventually and you got to have skills. Aiden Hutchinson has skills. Dude had 4 quarterback hits and 2 sacks. Jared Goff seemed a little extra juiced for this game. Again, of course, this is a former team. This was his former team, the same team that traded him to the Lions. So on some level, he wanted to get them back. Definitely. The Lions' secondary was a liability in this game. It might be time to scheme it up, because there's only good quarterbacks moving here on out. But the Lions were able to figure it out, and they were able to do some. They were able to best the Rams in this game. Now the Rams, where do we go from here? So the Rams started super slowly. They had 3 trips to the red zone. They came away with nothing. When there was no pressure, Goff was all world. He was an all-world quarterback because they didn't present any pressure on him. Think about that. He was 0-5 when pressured, and he got sacked 3 times. He didn't complete a pass when he was pressured. You got to boost the pass rush coming up this season. My apologies. For the Rams, you got to boost the pass rush. Yeah, you got one of the best defensive linemen to ever play this game. Ain't enough. You literally, it's Jared Goff. He's not a scrambling quarterback. You only pressured him 5 times. Now, you had a great success rate when he was pressured, but you only pressured him 5 times. you got to boost the pass rush this upcoming season. And I think this is Cooper Kupp's final year on his contract. So I don't know what's going to happen with that situation, but we keep it moving. Let's go to the Buccaneers. The Eagles losing to the Buccaneers. The Bucs score 32. The Eagles score 9. I don't know if I saw this coming. I did not, actually. Let's call a spade a spade. I didn't think this would happen to the Eagles. The Eagles were like 1-6 of their last 7 games. They kind of stumbled into the playoffs, fell into the playoffs. You know what? Forget that. Let's go back to the winners. Let's talk about the winners first. The Buccaneers, they were weird this game to me. They had receiver drops. The first half was full of drops. Drops here, drops there, drops everywhere. But the Philadelphia Eagles couldn't even combat that. They were shooting themselves in the foot, and the Philadelphia Eagles couldn't do nothing about it. I don't understand. I didn't understand. So the first half was full of drops, but Mayfield ended with 337 yards and 3 touchdowns. And here's where I think the game really got interesting. And they had pulled away a little bit, but the Eagles had time to come back. But when they stopped the tush push, when the Buccaneers were able to stop the tush push, that's when I knew it was over for Philly. That's when I knew it was done, that they were just cooked, that they wasn't coming out this game as winners. They weren't coming back into this playoff game. It was over. Let's talk about the Eagles. The Eagles won 6 in the last 7. Their defensive line never got consistent enough pressure. Never. And that's the thing about this team. That's why they were willing to keep Bradberry. That's why they're willing to keep Slay and all those guys, because they're so young on defense, on the defensive line, that it should have made up on the back end. Like the defensive line, they they made this team in a way that they have so many defensive linemen that they're able to keep them fresh, keep them rotating in an effort to keep them fresh and able to run, give their all to go after the quarterback, which in turn helps the defensive backs. Bradberry really took a step back. The defensive line never got consistent enough pressure, in my opinion. And at one point, close to half, I thought the Eagles snapped out of whatever days it looked like they were in. They completed a long pass versus a hesitant quarterback. I saw a decisive quarterback versus a hesitant quarterback. And the thing about it is, let's look at the quarterback comparison. Jalen looked like the hesitant quarterback, and I don't even know why. This is not like him. What's his name? Baker Mayfield looked like the decisive quarterback, and he had no reason to be. When I tell you they were dropping passes all over the place, the first half was full of drops. There was no reason for Baker Mayfield to be as decisive as he was, but we are where we are. And between the Cowboys and the Eagles, I want to know which one was the greater collapse. I would say it's the Cowboys, but either way, they were both collapses of epic proportion. Anyway, we keep it moving. Last game. Steelers play the Bills. Bills win 31-17. Steelers had a lot of injuries coming into this game. And once the Steelers were down 14-0, I knew they didn't have what it took to climb back into that game. Mason Rudolph isn't a bad quarterback, but it's going to take more than him, just him, to take you past the wild card round, which is an issue for them because Kenny Pickett ain't it either. Not at this stage. And I don't know if he will be at next stage, but personally, I don't think he'll ever be it. I had high hopes for him, but seeing this season go through, I don't know if he's the guy. The big question was, should Tomlin be let go? Obviously, they chose not to, but I don't think they should have anyway. They made the right decision. It shouldn't have even been a question. Yeah, I know they're defined by winning championships. The Steelers are. But let's be real here. If that's the case, they would have fired the chin long time ago. Right? Yeah, everybody's going in on Mike Tomlin for having these winning seasons but not winning championships. The chin didn't win nothing but one. He went to a couple, but he didn't win but one. Mike Tomlin went to a couple. He only won one. Why are we moving the line for Mike Tomlin here? Please tell me. You're moving the line for him, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't. It's wrong. So they decide to keep Tomlin. It's all good in Steeler land, but the defense is cool, but they need to find the offense. Wherever they find it, they need to find it. There's too many quarterbacks out there right now that need homes. You don't have to go out and find a rookie. If you want to spend time to develop Pickett, you can. It's just not. No, there's no excuse this offseason to not have a better quarterback than what Kenny Pickett gives you. No excuse. So we'll see what happens. Now let's talk about the Bills. The Bills ran through the Steelers, which most of us thought was going to happen anyway. Yeah, they scored 14 points in the first half off the rip, 14 in the first quarter. And of course they just kept building onto that. Josh Allen came in to wreck this game. Josh Allen been playing on the high for like six to seven weeks. Let's say 6 to 7 weeks. He been playing on a high. He's been the best man on the field. He's been just exerting, leaving it out on the field. If you think that Josh Allen is worth anything when he gets home, he ain't. That dude is leaving everything he has personally on the field. He can't speak for nobody else but himself, and it's all laying out there on the field. Let's talk about the run, the long run, and what looked like the fake slide. The fake slide, everybody's like, oh, it's wrong to do a fake slide. He basically just moved. It's just a movement, a slight movement. And it's one of those things where you still got to square him up. You need to make him slide. You have to make him slide. You can't just stand in front of him. You got to square up a Josh Allen. Because other than that, he's going to do what he just did. And nobody's going to stop him. Nobody. Not a soul. And nobody did stop him. He got into the end zone. So forget what the fake slide. He's not supposed to do that. Well, stop him. You got to stop him. It's the same thing as the tush push. The same exact thing. The same exact thing. So if you don't want to see it done, you got to stop them. And that's it for that. But those are the games So now you're dealing with the wild card round is over. Now we're dealing with the divisional round. So the divisional round, let's see, we have the Texans at the Ravens on ESPN Saturday at 4:30, which I'm interested in that. The spread, I don't know nothing about the spread, but I'll tell you the spread. Baltimore, -9.5. I don't know what that means, but for those that do, there you go. I don't know who's going to win what, so I'm not making decisions. I'm not making picks. The Saturday at 8:15 Eastern on Fox, the Packers play the 49ers, and that's going to be a good game. That's going to be a good game. Look forward to it. Let's go to Sunday's game. The Buccaneers at the Lions, Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern. The spread is Detroit -6.5, 6.5, -6.5. And we'll see what happens there. And then Sunday at 6:30, the last game, is the Chiefs at the Bills, #3 team at the #2 team, Sunday evening at 6:30 on CBS, 6:30 Eastern. The Buffalo Bills are -2.5. This is going to be interesting. So, that's pretty much it. I thank you all for listening, for joining in. I'll be back next week at some point to recap the divisional round, because we still got two more rounds of the playoffs. This divisional round and then the championship round. And then you got 2 weeks to the Super Bowl. So we got a lot of football to keep talking about. A lot of these coaches are sticking around, but there still are plenty of them to be hired. So we'll talk about that on future episodes as well. But nothing else caused my attention. So unless something else caused my attention, I think I'm out. I appreciate y'all listening. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for those that showed up and left. I appreciate everything that I can get. If there's nothing else to cause my attention, if there's nothing else to cause my attention, then deuces.